This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Today at funeral services in Creve Coeur, friends and family are saying goodbye to Ray Hartman. Ray died suddenly and tragically last Thursday in a car crash caused by two tires that flew off a semi-truck on I-64. Ray was 73. Over four decades, Ray Hartman was an influential voice in St. Louis. He founded the alt-weekly Riverfront Times in 1977. He also helped found the 9 PBS show Donnybrook in 1987, where he brought a staunchly liberal voice. After selling the Riverfront Times in the late 90s, Ray also resurrected St. Louis Magazine. We talked with Ray on this show in 2024 when the Riverfront Times was sold yet again, but this time its entire news staff was laid off. In a moment, we'll hear from a couple of people reflecting on Ray's legacy, but we first want to bring you a selection from that 2024 conversation where Ray talked about the beginnings and contributions of the alt-weekly he founded.
I was 24 when I started what was called Profile St. Louis. My original newspaper was started in Clayton, a historic building that's now part of the county jail. And I started the Riverfront Times as a spinoff downtown newspaper, actually a trial newspaper in November of 77 to try to save our company, but because we weren't doing that well, you know, and it was a downtown newspaper. I mean, that's all it was. And I got to a conference in 1980, and by 79, I had been man-eater editor for a long time at Mizzou. I decided one of the things we could do was make it a college newspaper for the real world. So we went from being a downtown paper to a college newspaper for the real world. And in 79, we initiated free personals, which I don't even know how to describe how free they were. Let's just say we let people for free put in their phone numbers.
Okay.
And sometimes they put in other people's phone numbers. And,
sure.
And sometimes they suggested that people that otherwise might not have very liberal attitudes about their personal social life were credited with having that. I mean, if we hadn't been so broke, we would have had some mighty fine lawsuits. But I mean, it was just crazy. I could tell you stories, some of which I couldn't actually read the ads on the air here.
Right, because
but
FCC has some regulations.
I'm not even sure the First Amendment protection. No, but the but anyway, so we had some great days. But I went to an Association of Alternative Newsweek, it was a fledgling group, and got inspired by what people who were doing what I called college newspapers for the real world, which at their essence was the alternative newsweeklies. And we grew up together, and I have to say, I mean, you know, I don't brag about much, but we really had an amazing, because we connected with the readers downtown. When we went from being just a downtown paper to the personals, and then the key that really built us that people don't remember wasn't some editorials I wrote, was the fact that, and I know it's hard for you to imagine a life before not only the internet but cell phones, but that we were the only place that would cover live music. And this is back when the boomers were young, if you can imagine that. And we were the only place you could get, if you had a favorite band or a favorite bar, not only did we have both of them, but we cross-referenced them. And we built a lot of, we really did help the music industry grow here. And I'm proud of that. And that's what really, really made us useful. Within not that many years, we were printing 100,000 newspapers that were flying away. It's pretty humbling, really, because I didn't know what I was doing when I started a little downtown newspaper when I was 24, 25. I'm proud. I mean, I look back and, you know, people particularly, I think back to the heyday in the 80s and 90s, and we were a little bit more about just crusading back then. Mm-hmm. And our motto was to question authority, which came out of, again, pardon me for being an old boomer, but it was question authority. And we did that, and we really were the only people in town in any medium, whether it's broadcast or print, that were willing to stand up to what has turned out to be a not, you know, well, let's just say we were raising the flags about needing more diversity of thought and in general in how St. Louis is run. I think back, we wrote the first stories about Coldwater Creek in 1983. I mean, I think about that, but we also were the folk, we were responsible for hundreds of thousands of dollars no longer being handed by the elite to the VP Fair, which had a very strange background. We did that. We fought. Now, we didn't always win. The first fight we really threw down on and lost was tearing down the title guarantee Buddha and International buildings for the Gateway Mall. And if you ever talk about something you haven't told you so about 40 years ago, that was a huge, the Gateway Mall was a huge issue. And we fought that fight.
That's Ray Hartman talking with me on this show in 2024 upon the demise of the Riverfront Times, the alt-weekly he founded in 1977 and sold in the late 90s. Ray Hartman died at the age of 73 last Thursday. Friends and family are gathering today for his funeral. We had the chance to talk with two people who knew him well. That includes Jeanette Cooperman, former Riverfront Times reporter and former St. Louis Magazine editor-in-chief.
Ray was somebody with such energy, such force, such constant curiosity and engagement that it's just hard to think of him gone.
Jeanette says that Ray Hartman was someone who cared a lot and was driven by the principles and values he lived by. As to his contributions to St. Louis, Jeanette put it succinctly.
Fearlessness. You know, you could list all the different media, all the different contributions, his writing, his speaking, his grilling people, his speaking truth to power, as the Quakers would say. But mainly he was fearless. And in a city like St. Louis, where people are comfortable with the way things have been, where they're often have lived here forever, know everybody around them has lived here forever, to be willing to challenge power and to challenge convention and to risk disapproval, I think is important. And I hope that's what we remember about him more than anything else.
Sarah Fenske also has fond memories of Ray Hartman. Sarah is the former editor-in-chief of the Riverfront Times, a former host of this show, and now the executive editor of St. Louis Magazine. She came to understand who Ray was shortly after she started at the RFT.
I had moved to St. Louis and didn't really know anybody. And everywhere I went, when I would introduce myself as I'm the managing editor of the Riverfront Times, people would say, oh, Ray Hartman. Oh, what's it like working with Ray Hartman? Oh, Ray's a legend. Oh, I miss Ray Hartman. People were just always talking about this man. And so at one point when I'd been there, I don't know, maybe 5-6 months, I got this really good scoop. And I got a note from Ray saying how much he liked this. He felt like this was the spirit of the old RFT that he had formed that was in this story. And I think part of what he liked is it was a takedown of a Republican politician. And Ray was a very partisan man. But just knowing that he loved this scoop, I had been feeling like somebody who didn't really belong here. What was I doing trying to be a journalist in a town that I knew very little about? And it just felt like this, okay, kid, like you're in this club. You're going to be fine. My paper is in good hands with you trying to help it. And that was just a wonderful feeling.
Sarah Fenske says many people came to know and appreciate Ray Hartman through his many appearances as a panelist on the 9 PBS show Donnybrook, which he helped found in 1987, until he stepped down in 2024 to run for Congress.
He was such a figure on that show, and people felt like he was speaking for them. He was making the argument that they wanted to make, and he was saying it so much better than they could ever make. You know, he was just so feisty and so fun and got so many good digs in, and yet kind of did it with a smile on his face. You know, I would go to the grocery store after I started guest appearing on Donnybrook, and people would want to argue with me about something Ray had said, because he had said the more memorable thing always. Like every show, he always said the more memorable thing. So I think that's a huge reason that people continued to associate the RFT with him for so long. I think it was also, the paper had an amazing run. At the point that he sold it, it was indisputably one of the best alt-weeklies in the country. The work they were doing there was incredible. The paper was so fat, so profitable. Everybody talked about what they were doing. This was a paper that had tremendous influence, not just on the careers of the writers that it hired, but also on the current events that were happening in St. Louis. And people understood that even though that was Ray in the sense of he created this thing and then let it just metastasize, it was Ray.
Sarah Fenske says a big part of Ray Hartman's legacy will live on in the journalists who once worked at the RFT and who now carry that spirit into their work in local reporting, including at St. Louis Magazine and here at St. Louis Public Radio. As to his time on Donnybrook, Sarah Fenske now sits in the chair that Ray occupied for so long.
Ray was the lefty. He had the far left seat. I don't know if that was intentional. But, you know, he stood up for the little guy. He stood up for the First Amendment. He stood against corporate welfare. He didn't like when people were concocting deals in back rooms. He wanted St. Louis to be better than it was, and he wanted to make sure that people who were less fortunate could partake in that success. You know, I've been filling in his chair for the last couple years now. Joe Holloman and I alternate weeks. We still call it Ray's chair. That chair is always going to be Ray's chair.
Here at St. Louis Public Radio, we knew Ray too. During the 90s, he did a weekly commentary interview locally on All Things Considered. And during the mid-aughts, he filled in as a guest host on this show after the sudden passing of host Mike Sampson. We send our condolences. Ray Hartman is survived by his widow, Carrie, and his two children.
Today's episode was produced by our executive producer, Alex Hoyer.
And I, Danny Wisentowski. Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.